June 17, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this first hour, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waraq Uddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. And from 8 to 9, our beloved sister Michelle Muhammad will be discussing cooklovelivehealthy.com. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives, and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Anchor Cross, Psychology of Human Life. Did Muslims have it before? No. The Egyptians had it before. The Jews had it. And the Christians had it before. We had it. Egyptians had it, and they called it the anchor, cross of life. But their knowledge was limited, not as big as ours, but don't think they didn't know how to make the connection with heaven. Study the stars above. They made connections with the earth, sciences, and astronomy. They had all of that. The ancient Egyptians. They had the cross, the powerful of psychology. They had much knowledge of psychology of human life and behavior. They had much of that science, and they could master their masses. So their masses were no problem for them. They could keep their masses in check. They knew how to keep their masses or their public in check. Certainly it is a cross. Now, what does the Bible say of Jesus? He says, take up my cross. He did not say there was no other cross. He made it clear. There was a cross out there and a cross that I have. And he said, take up my cross. It is light. My burden on my cross is light, meaning you are under a heavy cross. More correctly, you are under a double cross. And I want to give you my cross, the cross of life. One cross, not a double cross, the cross of life. So double cross takes living human and nailed to a dead structure. So they have a double cross to take a living human being and nail it to a dead structure. The cross they put him on was a dead structure, dead wood from a once living entity. So death is the word void of the true spirit, void of the true life. It has been emptied of its true life, and now it's giving to you as a dead thing, and then they fashion your life to that life, and you're drooped, you're dead. Not truly dead, but dead as the life God wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, they did not crucify him, neither kill him, nor crucify him, but it was made to appear to them as such. So I was in the Vatican in Rome looking at the picture that Michelangelo drew of Jesus Christ in the crucifixion. And also one of him in the arms of his mother after they had taken him down from the cross. And one of the ladies standing near to me as I was looking at it he said, did you notice that his body is not stiff? His body is limp. So if he had really been crucified and rigor mortis had set in, his body would have been stiff. So even Michelangelo knew all they instructed him. The wise in the religion said, Michael, that is not right. He has to be limp because rigor mortis has not set in. The word is not dead. So Cross heard head drop. Church leadership is not conscious. So on the cross, his head drooped. And we think it is his head. So that is the head of his following, the church, the body of Christ, not the true prophet. That is the body of Christ, which is the church, or his church following. His head has drooped, meaning no more alive. The senses are no more alive. The consciousness is no longer in the leadership. So the head droops as though it is asleep. They say when they crucified Peter, the leader of the church, they didn't crucify him like they did Jesus. They crucified Jesus on a cross upright, and they crucified Peter upside down. The same cross, but upside down. So where is the message given to us like that? He was crucified upside down and Jesus crucified upright. Because the new disposition of his following under their leader who came after Jesus Christ was not what Jesus established. It was the opposite and what was their problem. His head was up towards heaven, up towards the universe. The head of the new leadership is down toward the earth and the feet up in heaven. Balance up in heaven, the feet means a lot. It means balance, but the feet also mean small people. So the small people are put in the sky and the new church leadership have their mouths, ears, tongue in the earth trying to get all that they can get. And that is what they did for centuries. This is history. The Gnostic soul that has divine light in it. So that is what they did for centuries, collecting the wealth of the masses and keep the masses ignorant. Wouldn't educate them and wouldn't free them. Were they that bad? No, they were that ignorant. They actually thought that their sciences that they had gotten by studying the teachings of Jesus Christ and the scriptures that came before, they thought that they had gotten the sciences to master the unruly public. And the unruly public are not the children of God. And they did not have divinity in them. So they thought that they had divinity in them. That's Gnostic meaning that they are people of the soul that has divine light in it. They thought themselves a superior creation to the others, and they were just like animals. Since they are like animals, they didn't have the real thing. They said women didn't have a soul at one time. This same leadership said only men had souls. Let us hear what you have to say against this corrupt world. Let us see you out here with your soul being expressed. Don't keep secrets in your soul that are against the world. Express those things you are holding inside of yourself. Let it be heard out here. So we will know that you are a force with us advancing the Sabbath, the way of God. You can excuse anybody. Someone might say, brother, I don't have a job. What can I give you? Give us your soul if you have nothing else. The world needs more than money. It needs your soul. The world needs more than physical interaction. It needs spiritual interaction. So you have a soul that is good, interact with this world. Come back to this world. Do what you have to do. But advance the way of God, whether you have money or not. If you have money, spend both. So you guide us to our path. Get you down from here, from earth, return to it, then resurrected. So the plural of Sabil is subtle, and God gives us the knowledge too, that he has a way. There is also many paths down here on this earth working. And he is the one who has guided mankind to all these other paths. What are they? The path of science, math, social study, medicine. So many paths down here. The earth has evolved. The horizontal life, he evolved all of these many sciences, and we are taught. So the picture of the faithful worshipers or servants of God to give him credit, saying, we would not have been able to achieve this had you not guided us. That is to say that all of the paths of man's productive life and good life, we are to give God the credit, because he is the one who created matter and designed it to evolve not only flesh, but to evolve our senses and even our morality. You know that. So we look at the earth and say, the moral life, don't let it touch the earth. But the earth is what gives birth to your moral life. You might ask, how did that happen? He created us to interact with each other. When we interact with each other, we can't tolerate the primitive behavior of each other, so living together evolved a civil life. That is what evolves it. So if we don't come together, the civil life won't evolve civilization. So when we live together, we say you used to live by yourself, your wife, and your two kids out in the woods. By yourself. But now we are forming a town. Please don't belch like this at the table. Hold your wind until later and go to the washroom. See how living together is evolving us? So we are learning higher moral life, a life on a higher moral plane, just by interacting and having engaging each other, right? So everything evolves. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, get you down from here into the earth where you will find the fulfillment of all your aspirations, moral, social, and whatever, right down here living in the earth together. Salat position. Al-Islam is a spiritual revolution against the bad rulers. So from it were taken, and from it you have to return. And from it you will have another resurrection. So we stand up in prayer. That is how we begin Quran, the word of God. That is the light. That is how we begin reciting it, turning towards our origin that represents the original nature God created for man. So we turn towards the Kaaba, Qibla, Allahu Akbar. And we stand here and we recite the words of God, not my words. I must recite the words of God. And the words of God will bend me down, make me submit, make me praise him. So when I go down, I say, God is the mightiest, three times. What am I addressing? What is this sign addressing? Mighty kingdom, mighty government, mighty powers that had control over man's life. Now God is freeing me from their control, and they are not mighty. He's mighty. I recognize him as more mighty than the nation and the power that we have recorded in history. Then I come up saying, Sami Alehi Lamin Hamida, means God has already heard whoever praises him. So my bending didn't make him hear me. Actually, the true Islam is a spiritual revolution against the bad rulers of the world. So this is what you have to understand. This is addressing bad nations, bad powers, those who claim might. And if you read the history of the rise of civilization, it has to rise against the mighty brutes. So nations who claim and force their will upon the masses, upon the majority of the people, upon nations from the position of their might, their power, their aims, their material wealth. So this is what we are addressing. So we don't want to see al-Islam in this way. You are not with me then. God has raised me from a child, much younger than my son who is here, not to like injustice, whether it is in the temple or outside. That is how I was raised. God raised me like that. Sajda, man brings material and science out of the earth, Allah above those who have knowledge. So you go down to the floor and you make sajda. You make one and you say, glory to my Lord, the Most High, 3 times. What is this addressing? Civilization first, conquered in the name of physical strength and power, might, weapons. But then science came to them out of the earth and gave them another superiority that put them in a situation where the mighty nations and material strength could be defeated by them as though they were inferior in material might to those nations. So who has science and used it over the heads of the others? And they defeated those powerful, mighty nations. Yasselah is the throne of power. So this is a graduation for the rise of nations. Here they are, they go to the earth and get out of the sciences, and they sit on the throne, Jasalah. That is the throne of power. So they rise up and sit on the throne, one. But you can't stop there. Knowledge is not what you should bow to, and that is not what you should set upon as your authority to rule. Not knowledge only. So you go down and you recognize that God has given us the sciences out of the earth, out of the material reality. And you say, glory to my Lord, the Most High. They stop calling themselves the mighty and start calling themselves ulema. God says in the Quran, wafuku kuli dahi ilmin alamun. Translated, above every knower is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-knowing. He is the Most High. So knowledge, what they knew, made them higher than the others, so now they are ruling because they are higher in knowledge, not because they are necessarily stronger in physical mass or power, but because they have more knowledge. So you rise up from Joshua and say, oh, Allah, forgive us, because we went wrong even though we recognize you as the Most High. What we found made us blind to the truth, and we got absorbed in our own knowledge and forgot you. So we say, oh, God, forgive us and have mercy on us. Then you go down again and come back up. And you begin the compliments are not for any, but for you, God, the most deserving of this, that I have been giving these kings, queens, trying to get them to accept me. in their kingdom and welcome me in their presence. And when I have a chance to speak to them, I have been telling them, Hayakumala, Yareni. Hayakumala, Yareni. God give you long life, getting rid of those false masters, going off those oppressors. And prayers are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do? So they can get the grace of the man. God give you long life. May he protect the kingdom forever. Ameen. So may he give you all the riches and all the beautiful things. Ameen. So who are you praying for? Not to God, but to this guy who you want him to be nice to you. Then they say to the ruler, good Lord, good master, we are living so much better now under your rule. You hear me, my brothers? This is a good man. No, salutation and praise are for God, not any salat, not any aggrandizement or praising or complimenting. No, that is in the tradition of man's life under rulers. That is what it is addressing. That is the history of man's life on this earth under false rules. That is what it is addressing. And that we should change from that, turn from that. When you go to Saudi Arabia, what do you see? When the king comes in, Ayakumula ya azi kabira. That is what you hear. They start praising him, and then a group of poets will come up, and they will start saying rhythms and rhymes to it, and he is sitting up like nothing can touch him. He is unreachable after all of that stuff. So he is saying, you don't know me. You are nothing. All you say doesn't move me at all. I got you before you came here. And I'll have you when you leave. I don't need your flattery. I don't need any of that. But if you don't give it, investigate him, you probably need to lock him up or kill him. So you come back up and you sit down and you start reciting in the right way. That is, this we have been given. The rule is not for them, it is for God. And then you say, now you are ready for peace. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu aliyahin. As-salamu aliyahin. Nabi, I have been reconciled with your life and your spirit, O messenger, O prophet. Prayers and the peace be upon you. So I greet you with peace. Be on you in the mercy and the blessings of God. I know you are deserving of it because God has reconciled me with your soul, your life, and your spirit. Then you say, As-salam, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadullahi salahim. Peace be on us because of you. And on the righteous servants of God, aren't we the righteous servants of God? Why do we say wa'ali ibadullahi salahim? Because they are righteous servants out there among the Christians and among the Jews and other people. And we wish them peace too. Isn't that beautiful? When you really know what you're practicing, it is salvation. It's beauty, it is what will make us comfortable with other good people all around the world and make them comfortable with us. If you just take them by commentary, it will open up the world to you. People won't fear you, they will love you. Now I'm ready to be a witness. That qualifies you to be a witness. So I witnessed there is nothing but the one God. Only the one God could have brought us to this excellent position in the world. That's the truth. Abraham is the father of this. Now we can say, now we are true witnesses. That's how come the people behave like they're behaving in the Islamic world. By witnessing that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is what he is. So you can't be a witness. How can you see what he is doing, what you do? It tells us you don't know what he is. You don't see what he is. You don't know this prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. They don't know him. We know him, Allahu Akbar. Do you know you can stop right there and say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah? That can finish your prayers. That is the farad of your prayer. That you come to that position and witness the one God, witness Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Because the knowledge puts you in the position to give peace to the conscious world on the right and then the unconscious world on the left of those who follow their knowledge and those who follow by habit. You can give both of them peace upon the authority that you have achieved by following the discipline of the knowledge, the guidance of God, to the conclusion that there is but one God, and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, a mortal human being, is his messenger, not an angel, not a Gnostic, not a divine person, who lives separate from the world. No, a mortal man who had wives and swept the floor for them, go out and shop for them in the market by himself, not with an entourage. Do you know Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was that powerful man over the whole state of the Muslims and would walk out and go shopping in the market and they would see him there shopping for groceries and things to take back home? Jesus, Muslim, to believe as a sign of human possibility. Fitra is Christ's nature. So that was our prophet. Prayers and the peace be upon him, a wonderful creation. And that is us, if you understand it, that it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. So that is why he is a mortal for us, a model for us, pardon me. He wants us to grow in that life and in that pattern of Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon him, life, and all of that was given to the world before Jesus Christ as a sign of it. Take up his burden, take up his cross, and identify in his life Christ in Christ and Christ in us. So it said that if a Muslim does not believe in Jesus Christ, he is not truly a Muslim. He is ignorant of his own identity because he believes in Jesus Christ is to believe in yourself. It is to believe in the possibility for your own self. God puts his spirit and his words into you. So you should be able to become Christ's nature. And we agree in that, but we don't call it Christ's nature. We call it fitra. The original life pattern discipline that God established in creating human beings for them to evolve into it, to hunger for it, to struggle and work hard for it until you arrive there. The prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, when he arrived there, he said, God, here I am. He did not say, there I am. He did not say, I am with you now. He said, I am here. Here I am, O Lord, meaning I am founding in my own self. I'm finally established as you want me to be established in my own self. So here I am. I hope you got it clearly. I'm giving it clearly. But sometimes you are not in the solar system. You are with a comet and it is just going fast as hell through everything, so I can't communicate to a comet. But I sure can communicate to a member in the family of stars or planets, but not that alien who is just flying, going headlong to where he doesn't know until he burns out or crashes upon the earth somewhere. He stops dead. So many of us are like that. Don't become so confident in your own thinking and mind. Always take the position that it is possible that I can be guided more and better, no matter how much you achieve. That is my position now. And I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown me the whole reality. The whole reality. Pardon me, my assistant is trying to reach me, threw me off. I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the whole reality. So Joshua is sitting on the throne of authority. So we finish in Joshua, and it means you are sitting on the throne of authority, and every one of us is supposed to be able to say our prayers and come to that conclusion, aren't we? So what is that saying? Every tub shall shut on its own bottom. Isn't it with the book says it has to be fulfilled. The Quran comes to complete everything that came before. Every man shall have his own vine and fig tree, and every tub shall set on its own bottom. So this is the independence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for each and every one of us. Free our minds and hearts and souls to have a peace with one another on this planet Earth. And he wants us to live in the light, not in the darkness. And all of us can come to that light just following the way of our prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him. So lastly, what do we say? We say, O Allah, make Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, successful, because this is the man. We recognize him, so we pray for his success. Make him successful and make his followers successful, as you did for Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Bless Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Bless him means not only the spiritual life, but also in the material life, as you blessed Abraham and the followers of Abraham, surely in all the world, you are the most worthy of praise, or the most praised, and you are the most famous. Don't we follow people because they are famous? We follow fame. No, God is the most famous. And if they want to get us right now, what do? They use the ones who are famous, or they seduce us with the possibility that we will become famous and take us off course, feed us into destruction if we buy it. So this is the wonderful prayer. Elijah Muhammad helped whites and used the fishing for blacks. And look how God spoke through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man who could see like I see. He said the Muslim prayer is the best form of prayer. He wrote it and put it in the writing, even though he was not instructing us to pray that way. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said many things. I know he said it, and I didn't know the full ramification. He didn't know the full ramification of what he was saying, but he said those things. That is how God is. God speaks through whatever. he wants to speak through. And certainly he spoke a lot through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In fact, he healed the white race who are healed. His medicine was most powerful for healing them. What he gave was the best medicine for healing the white race here and all over the world. So fish the sea that he's being fed to feed you. So what he gives to us was the best trick for getting people to come from their ignorance to the right way. What he said was he was fishing, right? He said, go out and fish the dead in. So what was that saying, fish? A fish is the seed. You make the fish think you are feeding him. But if he eats what you are giving him, he gets hooked. And you bring him in and you eat him. So deceive him to make him think he is being fed. But really, he is going to feed you, right? And Mr. Farad, that is what he had in mind. I'm going to give them something that they think is food for them, but I am going to hook them, and Wallace is going to get them one day, and they are going to be feeding us. You will make a real nice meal on this new table. So they were fishing, meaning searching, trying to search and find what will bring the life to them, right? So they were searching to find what will bring the life to God in these people. But they were doing that through the spirit and the emotional side, not the rational side. Isn't that the average church preacher right now? They are trying to get the people to come to God by working on your spiritual or emotional side to get you to come to God. So they are not following Jesus Christ. He said, throw the net in the right side or on the right side and not to fish in the blind water of the people, but fish in the light of their reasoning, their understanding, and that is fulfilled with Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him in Al-Islam. So over and over again it says, don't you have brains? Don't you use your brain? This is in the Quran. You should understand that you were created with brains. Don't you use them? Should you ignore the brain that God has created you with? This is an argument of the Quran over and over again. Don't you know that you should use the brain that you are created with? These brains are what makes you superior to other creatures. Your special human brain makes you superior to all other life. So don't you want to use your brain? And you men of truth come from Arabia, where Abraham established the first house, Kaaba. As light came out of Mecca, east of Jerusalem, it comes to the west. Prophet says to the angels, your knowledge is of the nature of fire. Fire burns things, twisting, distorting, breaks loose, disintegrates. The prophet's fire is different from the fire in that it doesn't destroy the form of things. It reveals the form of things. Allah is not going to change the human nature to make the human an angel or spook. God isn't going to free a devil to come back into good form. He is going to shine the light on the devil to let the world and the devil see that he is out of form. So one light puts us to rule day, sun, moon. First, you have to have the light of conscience that shines in the dark. You can't see your way, but you got a light of obedience, truth lit in your mind, and it keeps the light on until the sun comes up. So when the sun comes up, the moon takes a back seat. Sometimes the moon survives the night and is out with the sun. So east means beginning of mind. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 20, lightning, walk then stop. Matthew 24, 27, as the lightning shine out of the east. So when you get there, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. Meaning that spontaneously, you will have a spontaneous illumination. Your illumination will be spontaneous as the light flashes out of the east, even until the west. Lightning is spontaneous illumination. It gives you vision for a little while. You see it and you it cuts off. See how clear it is now? It starts from the east. The east is symbolic of what? The baby stage, the beginning, the dawning of the mind. The east is the beginning. The east is the dawning of the mind. So west, darkness. But it's going to take you all the way to the west. It's going to take you to the point where you will want to see beyond this world, to see beyond this world. So the spiritual light has to go out. The sun has to set. Then you will seek the universe on the black pattern, on the black, on the lower of the heavens, right? So now when you get that, understand from the law of the heavens, understand that it is not to go up there. It is to be applied down here. They want it to see God manifest in body. So he punished them with a lightning, right? So with the lightning bolt, he punished them. So the same urge that will bring us into knowledge, Jesus said, it will bring us into knowledge, didn't he? He said the light will shine out of the east, even unto the west. So if your attitude is right, if your orientation rightly, then that spontaneous burst of that rational urge, intellectual urge, will eventually bring you to see that the emotional urge is not claimed as my leader. It will not take me into the proper plane. I have to give up that. Must die. I'm going to go away, right? Must go away, that the spirit of truth will come unto you. So when you close your eyes and shut your eyes to the light of your own intellect, which is emotional in essence, it feeds by your emotional whatever you know. So it, whenever, whatever you know, it or not, it feeds by your emotions, the urge in you to know. So that you say, I don't want to go. But what I want, your will be done, God, not mine. So close eyes, stop urge to see material world. Yes. So when you close your eyes and stop the urge to see the material world and you want to see the will of God, not he, his word, but the will of God, then the spontaneous urge comes back against lightning, bringing bad omen. It brings bad consequences, and lightning brings good consequences. So that's why one lightning is bad and the other is good. In the New Testament, the lightning that shows you how Jesus came back is good. But the lightning that hurt the people who want to see God manifest in the body, that was a curse. It was bad. So when you will close your eyes to your own selfish world and your own selfish interest, and you will try to reconcile yourself with the will of God in the dark of your own vision, close your eyes to your own vision, then God causes that inner urge. That's what is called cognition. Look it up in the dictionary. If you don't know that word, cognition, it's a word or term of just what we are talking about, the natural urge in the intellect to see and understand cognition. So the cognition, then, yes, they give you a cognition flower, a carnation flower sometimes on your special occasions, right? It has something to do with that carnation, incarnation. No, carnation is the opposite of this, pardon me. Cognition is different anyway. Cognition then is in the urge the person manifests as, yeah, that's ignition. Ignition is the speak of things to be beginning of an ending. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 20, walk only in thunder and lightning. So lightning refers to the intuitive light of man. So I really like the word Prophet Abraham gave. He told the big ruler, the one who created me, the one who created me shall guide me. And that is a good way to get another view. Look at Abraham to see him a little clearer. So where is the guidance in creation? The guidance for any form of life is in its creative body. Is that not right? So science is the guidance for treating all forms of life from the study of the form of life. The guidance is in its creation. It is in its form. It is where the guidance is. So that's why just anybody can't be a doctor. You can't guess at the treatment. It is scientific. The guidance is in the created thing. So that is what Abraham was telling this arrogant ruler. You think you know everything, but no. You are ignorant. You are following guesswork. You are nothing but an advanced, wealthy witch doctor. Here I'm coming with the truth, and you have false magic. The one who created me shall guide me. And that's the meaning of Kalika Fasawa Kadira Fahada. Kalika Fasawa Kadira Fahada. In four steps he created, then he balanced everything. That is the law, if things are balanced. It means these things are governed by laws, Kadira. Then he empowers the intellect. That is talking about the intellect, but the same thing happened with creation itself. God has created matter so it comes willingly or unwillingly to the order that God intends for it. So if it is not an agreement, then there is a strain in the matter to conform to the law intended for that matter. It might explode and then find its adjustment, or it might by some other activity come to its adjustment, but it is going to come to its adjustment because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it all for peace, so it has to have its peace. So for the intellect straining for the guidance, it strains and strains with issues that the intellect wants to see in some kind of rational order or agreement. The intellect strains and strains, that is what the term Kadira is referring to. And after a while, the light comes on. It happens and the intellect knows this is the answer. So this is how it's supposed to be settled, or this is how this is supposed to be stated or composed, etc. And with that is the guidance. So there is guidance in the intellect will keep working with it after the light has been turned on. A mysterious way, intuition, cognition, etc. So the light is on now and the intellect begins to work on what it saw. I really like the word Prophet Abraham gave. He told the big ruler, the one who created me shall guide me. And that's a good way to get another view. Look at Abraham to see him a little clearer. So where is the guidance? In creation. The guidance for any form of life is in its created body. Is that not right? So science is the guidance for treating all forms of life from the study of that form of life. The guidance is in its creation, in its form. That is where the guidance is. So that's what just anybody can't be a doctor. You can't guess at the treatment. It is scientific. The guidance is in its created thing. So Qadir refers to strain of the mind that leads to guidance. So that is what Abraham was telling this arrogant ruler. You think you know everything, but no, you are ignorant. You are following guesswork. You are nothing but an advanced worthy witch doctor. Here I'm coming with the truth and you have false magic. The one who created me shall guide me. And that's the meaning of Kalika Fasawa Kadira Fahada. Kalika Fasawa Kadira Fahada. In four steps he created, then he balanced everything. That is the law. If things are balanced, it means those things are governed by laws, Kadira. Then he empowered the intellect. That is talking about the intellect, but the same thing happened when creation itself. God has created matter, so it comes willingly or unwillingly to the order that God intends for it. So if it is not in agreement, then there is a strain in the matter to conform to the law intended for that matter. It might explode and then find its adjustment, or it might by some other activity come to its adjustment. But it is going to come to its adjustment because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it all for peace. So it has to have its peace. So for the intellect straining for the guidance, the intellect strains and strains with issues that the intellect wants to see in some kind of rational order or agreement. The intellect strains and strains. That is what the term Qadira is referring to. And after a while, it light comes on. It happens. And the intellect knows this is the answer. This is how it's supposed to be settled, or this is how this is supposed to be stated or composed, etc. And with that is the guidance. So there is the guidance, and the intellect will keep working with it after light has been turned on in a mysterious way, intuition, cognition, etc. So the light is on now, and the intellect begins to work on what it saw. So lightning symbolizes people following intuition, but not revelation. Those who won't follow the revelation, and they follow nothing but the intuitive light, they are the ones who wait for the thunder and the lightning, and when the lightning flashes, they walk a little bit, and it goes off, and they are at a standstill. The same God who that gave you the intuitive power also gave you revelation. So don't be satisfied with just that. Still seek God, and in time, he will give you revelation, revealed knowledge that came to the prophets, as we know. Say to the rejecters of faith, I do not worship what you worship, and you are not worshiping what I worship. And I am not worshiping what you worship, or I am not worshiping what you are set upon worshiping. It is a little stronger here. and you are not worshiping what I worship. So for you, your way, your deen, and for me, my deen. And you notice my deen has not the possessive letter Y on it. It just has the kasrah, eval. Why? Because this is not an individual religion. It is a universal religion of mankind, so it is not nice for us to say it in particular discussion with rejection, my religion, with some kind of special pride or some kind of special sense of possession. No. It is a religion of mankind. So play down your possession of it. Do not put the long vowel, the double E on it. Just put the little vowel, kasrah E. Don't say my holding it long, but say my real quickly, my, and keep going. Like some people say, my God. That is too long. He is not just your God. He is our God. Ukud means or not, your firm conviction, resolution. So you accept what he says, and you find yourself breaking the law. You wake up one morning, and you say, good God, I have broken all the law. I didn't know I had slipped into this kind of thinking. So the word ukud means, here is from the Arabic root word ukada, which means a knot. And this is firm conviction, meaning your resolution or firm conviction, and I seek refuge from the harm or the evil of the envier when he envies. So these are prayers. They are chapters, but they are also prayers. I would advise you to pray these prayers. This world is too much for us. We can't manage it, but God will help us. And his help that he gives is to help all these, and is universal. So every society has come under influence or has been tempted by the Satan, and every society has had magic and its witchcraft. So another chapter says, I seek refuge with the Lord of the humanity, mankind of all people. So you see, every one of those verses, we are calling on God himself. They are directed to God, and the Quran says to be not of the kafir, or the rejecters of faith. Be not of the shirk, the polytheist declaring the oneness of God. Here it is a must to have protection from the Lord of the dawn. So we know this is daybreak, light. It says, I seek refuge with the Lord of the light. There is the Lord of the light. It is not just light created, but the Lord of the light. The creator, the Lord of the light, or the one who started the light. That light, to take that light from beginning to end, stage by stage. So we are coming to the conclusion of our time. One second. I'm trying to read this note from my assistant. Just give me one second, please. Okay. Sister Michelle will be on Twitter. Sister Michelle 19 on Twitter. As Sister Michelle, peace. So she wants you to go to her Twitter account. Salakallah Hazadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. Pardon me for the interruption, but I was distracted. So you can Michelle, you can go to her Twitter account and you will pick up Sister Michelle right after me. As I conclude this, and we will continue this tomorrow, inshallah, it only means that it please God. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.